श्रीधरं कृष्णं स्मयमानमुखाम्बुजं पीताम्बरधरं नीलं माल्यचन्दनभूषितं राधाचित्तचकोरेन्दु परतरं देवं ब्रह्मानन्द कृपानिधे ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भगवद गीता इज द साइंस ऑफ नोइंग द गोल ऑफ अवर लाइफ एंड हाउ टू प्रोसीड टूवर्ड्स इट प्रैक्टिकली. We see that the life is a battleground. We have to make our way by battling the various forces that oppose it. Radha चकोरेन्दुं सौन्दर्य सुमहो दधिं परात् परतरं देवं ब्रह्मा कृपानिधि. ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं අෂ්ටාදශාධ්‍යායිනීම් අම්බ ත්වාම් අනුසන්දධාමි භගවද්ගීතේ භවද්වේෂිණී. Bhagavad Gita is the science of knowing the goal of our life and how to proceed towards it practically. We see that the life is a battleground. We have to make our way by battling the various forces that oppose it. This is the story of life, as you will see, that the evolution also is the struggle for existence against all the natural forces that tend to kill it. There is always a struggle in our understanding as human beings, because we know what is right. We understand in a given situation what we should be doing, what we must do. On the other hand, there are the attractions and repulsions which make us deviate from what is right, and thus a struggle ensues. There is the attachment that we have for various things, things that actually we associate with. As we associate with it for a purpose, the purpose sometimes is over, but the attachment lingers, which keeps us bound to it. Thus, when time comes that we should act in a right way, these attachments create hurdle in life. We cannot see the truth properly because of the forces of such attachments, and they are terrible forces. We do not really know the tremendous force that they exert upon us unless we have to stand against them. As long as we are flowing with them, it appears that everything is fine. There is not much attachment in me. It appears, you know, let me tell you my own experience. I was reading the books of Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda and Bhagavad Gita and listening to many classes on that. And then reading all this discussion on attachment and other things, I used to feel it is really superfluous. We are really not that much attached. I don't feel that I have that much attachment at all. I can easily give up everything. What is there? It is so simple. But then when I decided to take to monastic life, then it all came as a very, very big force. Then I knew to how many things I was tied emotionally, how deep, how subtle, and how pervasive were those attachments. And because of these, our thinking doesn't go in right direction. whatever we are attached to in the, in a pleasant way, that from which we derive pleasant, we cannot see the drawbacks in it. And that with which we are attached in a negative way, both are attachments, hatred as well as the attraction. Hatred also is, it is not detachment, friends. Hatred, see, if you hate something, the thought of that keeps on coming to your mind again and again even if you don't want to. So hatred is not exactly detachment. It is, we see that at all these levels we are bound, and therefore that which we hate, we cannot see anything good about it. That with which, you know, we are affectionately connected and we feel lot of pleasure in that, we cannot see anything wrong in it. And thus, our very basis of judging what is right and wrong is disturbed by that. Then we take decisions, taking all pros and cons into consideration, and decide that this is the right course, as Arjuna had decided. We saw that Arjuna was very much angered by the acts of Kauravas. It is very natural, the way they had been subjected to harassment and all sorts of humiliation, injustice. It was quite natural for Arjuna, like any human being, to feel anger, hatred, a feeling of, you see, avenging, all that. So he was very much for this war. His interior was just bubbling with anger, seething with that idea of revenge against Kauravas. And he knew that he must fight the war. Of course, he also was aware of the consequences of war, with whom he is going to fight. He was not that the other side was very weak, namby-pamby. There is not that on other side there were not the great warriors. Arjuna knew very well that he is against a very formidable force. And we see it in the Mahabharata war, that it was not easy for Pandavas to win this war. The major warriors on the other side, like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, all were really killed through a diplomatic way. It is a kind of a very cheating strategy had to be employed. Through cleverness rather than through valor, Pandavas could win this war. So Arjuna was very much aware that what he is against. He was also aware that this means a destruction of lot of life is going to be killed in this war. And that also was borne out as the result of this war. We saw about 18 million people were killed in this war. Arjuna had the idea of all this, and yet he saw that that is the only possible way. There is no other way but to go to this war if you want your rights. If you want that what you justly belongs to you and should be restored to you, then this is the only way he could see. And so, after a lot of deliberations, he and all the other brothers had come to this conclusion that we have to go to this war. This war is forced on us. Krishna had tried to mediate and said that to the Kauravas, the who had grabbed all the kingdom, that Pandavas, these Arjuna and his brothers, this side of Pandavas, will be satisfied even if you give, even if you yield 5 villages. But the king Duryodhana on their side, he said, "Oh, let alone 5 villages, even the land that can stand on the point of a needle, that also I will not concede without war." So the war became imminent. It was a momentous decision, judiciously taken after a lot of deliberations. So we take momentous decisions in life. When time comes that I have to decide, I have to take a decision and act on it. So long the moment to act doesn't approach, we feel kind of okay. Yes, yes, I have decided. But when the time to act actually comes, now I must act, we develop cold feet. We find, no, it is, something is not right. I must rethink. Let me rethink my decision. It is really not rethinking. It is cheating ourselves with a nice name. You know, let me rethink means, let me find out a way to escape. And exactly that thought came to the mind of Arjuna. This is the situation that we all face. When the challenges, we take the decisions in life. Yes, I must do it. I need to do it. And when the actual time to apply it comes, I think, oh yes, I should do it, you know, but is it necessary to do it right now? Can I not postpone it to tomorrow? I do it all the time, you know. I know that I should cut my food intake, and then do more exercise, and keep that will. I know that that is going to help me remain healthier. But I say, let me do it from tomorrow. Is it today? It is, you know, there are so many nice delicacies around. Why is it necessary to start it from today? It is not that urgent. Let me start it from tomorrow. And thus, you know, we lose the momentum and also lose the goal thereby. So this presents, you know, this dilemma presents in our life. What is right? I know what is right, and yet there is a strong attachment, you know, to eat ice cream. So what to do? I know what is right, and also there is the attachment to ice cream pulling. I am giving an example, you know, that it is. Then what happens thereby? Then I decide that, well, okay, let me eat ice cream. And sometimes it takes, you know, some other forms. I want to eat, but I blame it on somebody else. That is again a human ingenuity, you know, how human beings misuse our intellect, you know. We all are endowed with wish, and we take pride in it, that no other animals are as intelligent as we human beings are. And of course, therefore they cannot misuse it, since they don't have it for using, they of course don't have it for misusing either. A human being have it and they can misuse it really. So I say, You see, I am taking food with all these friends. If I don't eat, they will also not like to eat, you see. So for their sake, let me eat. And all such foolish arguments. Really, I know in the heart of heart that it contains no water at all. But it is still, I present, the attachment makes you, you know, to justify all the wrong things. Every wrong can be justified like that. So, Arjuna now is faced with this terrible prospect of war. Till he was on the battlefield, he was showing all this, his readiness for it. He was in fact a bit arrogant also in telling the emissaries of Kauravas that, well, now be ready to face my arrows. My arrows will answer you, not my words now. So he was very much bent upon war. Not that he had the ideas of peace and all that at that time. He came to the battlefield. And the battle is about to begin. We saw the announcements by blowing the conch was already done. Arjuna also had in fact blown his conch. The conch blowing is, yes, now here the war begins. That is the announcement. Yes, let us now attack. It was started by Bhishma, the general on the side of Kauravas, that yes, now, come on, we attack you. The weapons had been unsheathed. Pravritte Shastra Sampate, the language here is very interesting, very expressive language. Let me again read a few verses that we actually had read last time.
अथ व्यवस्थितान् दृष्ट्वा धार्तराष्ट्रान् कपिध्वज प्रवृत्ते शस्त्रसंपाते धनुरुद्यम्य पाण्डव ऋषिकेशं तदा वाक्यं इदमाह महीपते.
This is the 20th verse of the first chapter. Then the monkey-bannered son of Pandu, Arjuna, when he saw the sons of Dhritarashtra thus arrayed, and when missiles were about to be discharged, so not that the war was now away, time-wise it was now about to begin. The missiles had been taken out, the arms have been unsheathed, the bow and arrows, they were now joined. So, at that moment, it is said, Arjuna raised his bow and he said to Rishikesh, Shri Krishna. Rishikesh is the name of Krishna. It means that the one who attracts all the sense organs, and he is the one who governs everyone. That is the meaning of Rishikesh. So, it is this Rishikesh is being addressed by Arjuna, who has been called here Kapidvaja. His flag, Arjuna's flag, bore the sign of the Hanumana. Mahavir Hanuman was on his banner. There is a story associated with it, very beautiful story. Mahabharata is full of all such nice stories, but I won't digress into it right now. So, it is at that time now this Arjuna tells to Sri Krishna, Rishikesh. Arjuna vacha, thus spake Arjuna.
Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapayame chuta yavadetan nirikshaham yodhukaman avasthitan kairmaya saha yodhavyam asmin ranasamudyame.
O Achyuta, Shri Krishna, keep my chariot between the two armies while I see those who are arrayed seeking battle and know with whom I shall have to fight in this preparation for combat. Let me see. If we analyze this statement and we see that Arjuna is already getting the cold feet, not really now up to the war, because the argument doesn't seem justified that why he knows already with whom he is going to fight. Not that he has to now go and see whom he has to fight with. It is already known to him who are the warriors on the other side. So that was really not the issue at all. He was under such situation. See what we do, how our psychology works. We try to buy time now. Is it to be done right now? No. Wait. Wait a minute. Let me think. This is buying time. Arjuna is buying time. Rationalize the whole thing now. He has, in a way, the weakness has taken over. Now, he is trying to give a prestigious retreat, you see, that the vanquished party tries to present that we have morally won, you know. The war has been won morally, the battle has been won morally. It is like the presidential race. Our Democrat candidate lost he said that in the announcement, the vice presidential candidate on TV came and said, yes, we have this conceded, that we have conceded victory to them. Now, then there were the comments this thing on TV by those satirists. But what is this conceding? They have been defeated, but instead of saying that we lost, we are defeated, he said we conceded. Just a better word, you see. You put the things in just nice words so that you feel better. Try to present a nicer view of the things. So now Arjuna is trying to find out how to show that I don't want to now fight without being looked upon as a coward, the one who developed cold feet in the face of this tough situation. So he is looking now to find out a nice argument. And now, when he thought, he was a very intelligent person, so when he thought, like we all are, you know, very intelligent people, we all are very intelligent in how to defeat our own purpose. So Arjuna summoned all his intellectual resources for this purpose, that how to present an argument and a very hideous, defeatist argument is just coming up there now. Looks very beautiful, friends. Very nice argument for peace. Arjuna is presenting himself as a great saint advocating peace. instead of saying that I am coward, peace is very nice, but it should not be a cover for cowardice. It is what is inside is cowardice. And then you cover it with the idea, no, I am peaceful, I am compassionate, I am saintly. Even if others have wronged, I should not, treat them like that. I should always have the compassionate, saintly attitude towards everybody. Very nice if you really have that attitude. You are not, Arjuna was really not a person like that. And what was happening here was the cowardice and weakness was taking over. And he was covering it with nice philosophy of peace. That we are very good at philosophizing all our drawbacks and all the wrong that we do. We present it with a nice philosophy. So Arjuna was doing exactly like that. And he therefore said to Krishna, first it is described here by Sanjaya, that what Arjuna saw there, now, the glasses of attachment have been put on the eyes. View has changed. If you say put on the blue glasses, all the world will appear blue. If you put on the yellow glasses, everything will be covered by that yellow color. So now Arjuna has put on the spectacles of this attachment. Now with those eyes he is looking at the army. Sri Krishna is not uttering a word, you see, that is very significant. Sri Krishna is keeping quiet. He is doing what Arjuna is telling him to do, because after all he is just, Sri Krishna is a charioteer, a chauffeur basically. So wherever he is told to take the chariot, he is taking. Okay, fine, come on, you told me to take it between the two armies, here we are. And now Arjuna, with this through the eyes of attachment, I and mine, he is seeing the view in front. And he is not now seeing any enemy, any Kaurava there. No enemy is seen now. What is seen now? Mine. When mine, then the whole judgment changes, you see. Yes, the such criminals must be punished. Yes, I agree to that. But if that person is my son, then my argument changes there. Well, one should be lenient to young people, and the whole thing changes. Whenever that I and mine comes, everything is then the judgment gets completely disturbed. You cannot then take judiciously right decision. So, it is therefore a judge is not submitted the case that involves his very close relations. So, because the attachment shrouds the whole judgment, it is the whole sense of justice. We had some time back a beautiful talk given by Swami Ishtananda from San Diego about this attachment, practicing detachment, a very nice talk. And of course many of you were here for that talk, you have heard it. Those who have not, I strongly recommend that a cassette or CD of it should be heard. Very beautiful talk about how the attachment affects our judgment, and thus we cannot do anything right because of attachment. And that is really I and mine. I am this, this is mine, this is not mine. Something is mine means something is not mine. Otherwise, why you need to say that something is mine? It is mine and not mine. Things get divided like that. And now Arjuna sees everything in front of him, all mine. Now how can he? Now battle is impossible, you see. So his description, Sanjaya says,
Eva mukto rishikesho gudakeshena bharat sena yor ubhayor madhye sthapayetva rathottamam.
I see those who are gathered here ready for fight, desirous of pleasing in battle the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. And then Sanjaya said, O descendant of Bharata, that is Dhritarashtra, spoken to by Gudakesha, that is Rishikesha, Shri Krishna, placing that excellent chariot between the two armies in front of Bhishma, Drona and all kings, said, See, O son of Pritha, these assembled Kurus. And then, what does Arjuna say looking at them?
Tatra pasyat sthitan partha pitrunath pitamahan acharyan matulan bhratrin putran pautran sakhins tatha.
Now Arjuna is not capable of seeing any foes there. He is not able to see any Kauravas there, all mine. What does he see? There, situated in both the armies, Arjuna saw fathers, also grandfathers, preceptors, maternal uncles, uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, associates, father-in-law and well-wishers. All my relatives, and they are all mine. Did Arjuna not know it before? He knew all that before. Not that, had he not thought about it earlier? He had given a good thought to it earlier. But at that time, the attachment had not taken over. Now, when the moment to act has presented, the forces of attachment suddenly now come in. Now, he therefore tries to find an escape route. And then, peace is always a very good philosophy. That yes, let us forgive them everything, we should practice forgiveness. If we are hit upon one cheek, we should turn another cheek. Yes, it is a very good idea, but are you really capable of practicing it? Are you up to practicing it? Are you doing this for practicing it or just to escape your duty? Think about that. Arjuna is bringing out all now the wonderful lecture. And because of his attachment, he even forgot to whom he is talking, you know. And he is telling all this to God himself, to God Krishna. And he is telling all this big philosophy. We start telling to our teachers, our superiors, everything, as if they don't know. We alone know. So, it is a big philosophy started, you know, by, and he says, Krishna, maybe you are not aware of it. Krishna is aware of everything, you see. But Arjuna is telling, look, you are not, you know, you are understanding the consequences. I know. Many a time we tell this, feel that Swami Yatishwarananda has written in his book on meditation and spiritual life, and that many a time the disciples feel that my teacher really doesn't understand me. The problem is that it is the reverse. The teacher understands you more than, he says there, that the teacher understands you more than you understand yourself. Actually, that is, but we forget that and start telling, giving a big advice. It is the Arjuna's lecture, you know, would be otherwise. If we forget this, mindset through which the argument is coming up, then this would be a great talk on peace, the world peace. But it is being given by a mind that is really restless. All violence erupts from that. This peace, talk of peace, is not really talk of peace. It is the words spoken appear to be as if he is advocate of peace, but it is just cowardice and weakness that is speaking these nice words. That is how it we hear in the world. Many talks about peace. Nobody says that we don't want peace. All the world leaders, the politicians governing all different countries, including our USA, who we speak so many nice things about peace. And yet there is no end to the wars in the world. If really we speak peace, and if there is peace in the heart, there wouldn't have been so many wars. But the peace is only a camouflage to cover peace, but in my way, not in your way. Not the peace means I should be ruling you, you shouldn't have anything. I should get everything, you should get nothing. Then that peace is okay for me. That will not pave way for real peace, because this restlessness for getting more and more, it is a never, it is a bottomless pit that can never be filled. And so the restlessness goes on increasing. As the restlessness goes on increasing, the violence in the mind, anger goes on increasing. That is the source of fights and wars. So therefore, it is not the words, but the mind behind those words, that is more important. The words can be nice, you see. The arguments can be given in various ways. You can talk of the world peace, and we can keep on saying that this is all for getting rid of evil people in the world and establishing peace all over. We can keep on saying that. What is in the mind that ultimately actually acts? The words only provide a camouflage, a shield against the other counter-arguments. So, Arjuna now starts his argument. The line further, it proceeds that what Arjuna saw, both sides, he is seeing further, that on the both sides when he sees this, Sanjaya says that Arjuna became overwhelmed. Kripaya paraya visto vishidan idam abravir vishidan. Arjuna now was visibly perturbed, morose, and despondent. Vishidan. He is now feeling the tremendous pain, sorrow, when we do not implement the judiciously taken decision. We develop cold feet and try to find out a comfortable way out. Then our mind is thrown into terrible despondency. On the one hand, we see that we are not able to achieve what we are thinking of achieving. On the other hand, there is that prick that we have been really cowards. You can cheat the whole world. Can you cheat really your conscience? It is not possible to tell lies like that to your own self. And so, we become really sad in the face of such situation that it is the challenges do come in life. Because progress means taking up these challenges. Without taking up these challenges, there is no possibility of progress. And running away from these challenges means shunning progress. And that does not make us happy. We become sad inside thereby. So when we take up the challenge, then we feel happy. Even the minor challenges, like a small child learning to walk. Now it is from that small level, falling is not a very nice experience, you know. And the child thinks that if I now raise myself from the ground well like that and try to stand on 2 feet and try to take a step ahead, I am likely to fall, maybe. No, but when the child takes up that challenge, takes a step, see the joy, is telling with that joyous face to everyone, look what I did today, what I accomplished today, you know. I walked 5 steps, I walked 10 steps. That how this thing happens? Because when you take up a challenge, when you face it boldly, when you discard your comfort zone and take up the challenge and face it, then you feel happy. Then that idea of despondency goes away. So therefore, Arjuna is feeling really sad. And his sadness now is speaking to Krishna. And the words are not exactly the words of Arjuna, but Arjuna's condition is very beautifully summed by Bhagavad Gita here. The words are put in the mouth of Arjuna, but of course, as we said, it is written by Vyasa. Vyasa ina gratitam. So Vyasa says now what Arjuna is saying. Arjuna vacha drishtve mam svajanam krishna yuyutsum samupasthitam sidanti mam gatrani mukham cha parishushyati vepathuscha sharire me roma harshascha jayate gandivam sransate hastat tvakshaiva paridayate nacha shaknomi avasthatum brahmati vachame manah nimittani cha pashyani viparitani keshava. What I read were verses from 28 to 30. Seeing these kinsmen, O Krishna, arrayed with a view to fighting, my limbs fail and my mouth is parched up. My body quivers and there is horripilation, means the hair standing on its end, you know. In the United States this word is not known, so horripilation is one word for the hair standing on their ends when you are nervous, you know, when you are facing a nervous situation, a psychologically a momentous thing is happening. Suppose you are told, you know, hey, Mike, you won lottery $5 million, then my hairs will stand on the end. Now they won't, because he knows he hasn't, you know. That the story of the doctor, you know, that doctor thought that, because he wanted to break the news slowly to his patient, you know, that he had won, his patient, heart patient. So to protect that, the doctor said that, you know, hey, Mike, what will you do? Tell me, suppose nothing has happened, but suppose you get $5 million in the lottery, what will you do? Tell me. And he thought that it is all jest. So he said, oh, Dick, I will give you half of it. And the doctor, that Dick doctor, he died there, because he knew that it is real, you see. So, that is when some psychological research, momentous, important, serious thing happens. Then these things appear in the body. Body starts trembling. You cannot. I remember, you know, sometimes when you go to in a some sense a big person. I used to, you know, in my school days, sometimes I used to think that I will go to my principal and tell him such and such and such and such things. All well rehearsed maybe in the mind. And then, but then when you go in the presence, that guy was a very... having a very forbidding appearance and very, yes, what is it? And then what was all well rehearsed would get forgotten, the words wouldn't come to my mouth, and the situation would be, nothing, just a little bit. Okay, tell what you want to tell, tell quickly. I have not, okay, so few things I would utter and beat retreat, you see. So, we get nervous like that in the face of such, before that we say, I would say this and I will present my case like that and with such strength and all that, but we find that we are too weak. And Swami Vivekananda therefore says that the secret of religion is strength. One has to nurture strength within. The strength of the body, strength of the mind, strength of the intellect. Weakness is not religion. Weakness is something that is against religion. And therefore, we must learn, you know, to be strong like that. So, he started giving this argument now, the philosophy of covering cowardice and weakness with flowery words, that my body quivers and there is horripilation. The Gandiva, Arjuna's bow, you know, he was very proud of his that big bow. Its name was Gandiva. It kind of is slipping from my hands, and my skin burns. I am not able to stand. My mind is reeling, as it were, and I seek, O Keshava, all the adverse omens. All the adverse omens are now seen by Arjuna. There were others. Nobody else was seeing any adverse omens. Because of the weakness of Arjuna, he was seeing all adverse omens there. It is because he didn't want to do it. So, when you don't want to do it, you immediately remember that, if the crow flies this way, that is a bad omen. Now, what the crow saw something there and so it was flying. It had nothing to do with it. So, but you think, that is a bad omen. I shouldn't do anything right now. In India, that is a funny practice, you know, that is considered a bad omen. If you are driving and a car passes, a cat passes in front of you, then it is considered a bad omen. and then the drivers there, they stop. They stop, first let some other car go ahead of them, and then go. So, as such a foolish thing, but then a bad omen, you see. That it is. Now cat might have seen a mouse at the other end there, so the cat is running after the mouse. So for the cat it was really a good omen to find a mouse there. So, but you think it is a bad omen and then start thinking like that. So many such ideas, you know, all superstitious things, and they are passed for religion, you know. This is our Hindus are expert in that, you see, that it is some such funny things are taken for religion, that this for observing this woman and that bad woman and that good woman, all. So Arjuna started seeing all bad omens. Krishna was there, he was not seeing them, there were so many others, they were not seeing. But now Arjuna wanted to make that big philosophy. So, now he starts giving the lecture now to Sri Krishna. Lecture on peace and giving away everything, giving everything to others, not wanting anything. After all, what is required for life? Then why were you earlier hankering for kingdom? You see, if you knew that all along, what is required for life, just we can beg our food and all that. Arjuna is going to tell all those things. And we shall try to discuss that next time. He said, well, I don't really care for victory in the war. What is there? What is going on? What are we going to get by killing our own kith and kin? No, that is not right. Killing is not good. You see, Krishna, do you not think so? For a paltry kingdom, and after all these things, have we not read in books that this is all ephemeral, not eternal good comes out of it? So, as if eternal good is going to come by cowardice. So, it is, what is the good of all this? And it will bring so much calamity in the world. Those people don't understand, but we, you see, now he is telling that even if those do not understand, at least we have the sense, you know, so we should act according to the inner wisdom. If they don't understand, let them not, but we should act properly. So it is, he is telling all these words to Krishna. And Krishna is listening without saying a word. Until Arjuna asks his opinion, Krishna is maintaining a stony silence, not expressing anything. Let the steam get out and then some. Because Arjuna found very difficult again to go out, to run away from the battle. That was also not very easy, to run away from the battle. And we immediately become conscious. First thing that we become conscious is, what other people will say about me? Will they call me a coward? What will they say? I said so many things, you know, I will do this and do this, and now if I don't do, even if I give all these arguments, who is going to believe them? Will they call me cowards all the same? Yes, you know, that is what happens. You may go on giving justification. I like that one nice saying, that justifications do not work. For the simple reason that your friends don't need that, and your enemies don't believe in it. So, what is the use of giving them? Your friends, they don't need that. Your enemies, they are anyway not going to believe in it. They are anyway going to call you a coward. And in fact, you yourself know that you are a coward. So, Arjuna is worried about that also. So he wants to, you know, now put this thing on Krishna. that I consulted Krishna, Lord. He thought that after hearing this wonderful lecture on peace, Sri Krishna's heart will be moved and then he will tell me, right Arjuna, wow, you really found a, you are great. I never thought you are such a saintly person, Arjuna. Yes, yes, yes. We were mistaken. Good that you got the, your sense of judgment woke up at the right moment. And thus, Arjuna, very nice. Thank you a lot. And let us beat a retreat. Then Arjuna would have had this excuse, you know, a very nice philosophy. Not only me, you know, Lord Krishna also agreed with me. And thus, we, now it will be we, you know, and when we were, otherwise I, when I have to project myself, suffered something good is done, I did it. But when I want to cover myself, it is, we did it, you see, so that the blame gets distributed, not I alone have to take it. So, Arjuna would have, was hoping that Krishna would agree with him, and thus, he could distribute that blame on Krishna also. So, but we, as we shall see, the Krishna gave when he asked, as long as he is not asking, he is not seeking any advice, Krishna is just listening, maybe smiling. You can picture, you know, that scene. Krishna is your own conscience. And your conscience is just smiling at you, pitying you maybe, that what are you doing now, standing there. So, Krishna then, when Arjuna asks, then starts speaking. And the words that came out of his mouth were far from pleasant to Arjuna's ears. They were terrible rebukes. So, we shall see that gradually. Today the time is over. So, we shall conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्र गीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।